If Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, Christianity would be dead, your faith would be worthless, and your life would be over. What's the big deal about Easter? Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard at Treasure Top. Today we will discuss why Jesus' resurrection matters to you and what his resurrection really proves. If you are a first-time listener, or maybe you have joined us recently, you can also hear my podcast messages on how to make life work when life does not want to work. Just go to treasuretop.com and look for the podcast tab and subscribe at the same time so you never miss a message going forward. And I will quote from the NASB translation of the Bible, unless I note otherwise. Man was made by God, and I believe that God also used man to invent radio, television, and the internet to help more quickly fulfill Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We know that God does not save anyone before they hear the gospel. Romans 10 tells us that faith comes by the hearing of the message of Christ, and a person has to hear that message first and then believe the gospel before being saved. A person needs a preacher to hear the word of God, otherwise how are they going to hear? And how will they believe if they don't hear? And how can a preacher preach unless he is sent? People who do believe say this, as found in Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Apart from the gospel, there is no salvation. And that's what your giving does. It enables unsaved people to hear the word of God from me, a preacher. And your giving also enables me to use the mass media to deliver the word of God. That's how important your giving is. Your donation will help more people hear the gospel before it's too late. For if anyone dies before accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is no second chance to get into heaven. An unbeliever is condemned to eternal death in hell. So to help us spread the saving grace of Jesus Christ, go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button. When you give, you will not only bless others with the Word of God, but you too are blessed. In Malachi 3:10, the Word of God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." This verse actually refers to the time when people during Old Testament times stopped giving their tithes and priests could no longer perform their priestly duties. They had to give up their ministry and begin farming because they needed income to live on. And when it comes to giving, I want you to know that nowhere in the Bible does it say anyone will receive blessings in proportion to their giving, that the more money they give, the more blessings they receive. That's what's called prosperity gospel teaching. It is a false gospel, not the word of God. Father, we come before you today to remember, to proclaim, but most of all to thank you for the victory of eternal life in heaven forever and ever that you have given all who believe that your Son Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross as payment for our sins, who then died and was buried, and who then rose from the dead on the third day. Your word says the wages of sin is death. Father, thank you for your mercy, keeping us from what we deserve. And thank you, Father, for your grace, blessing us with what we don't deserve. We can do nothing to earn your mercy or your grace. Thank you, Father, for the victory for all who are in Christ, that we will enjoy eternal glory with you in heaven immediately upon our physical death on earth. And Father, I pray that you would use me, lead me, guide me in delivering this message today to the glory of your name. Amen. So what is the big deal about Easter? Well, the celebration of Easter proves once and for all what Jesus Christ said to Martha. Martha was the sister of Lazarus and of Mary, and was a close friend and follower of Jesus. By the way, there are multiple women in the Bible named Mary, And the Mary we are talking about here is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This Mary was the relative of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, Luke 1:5 and 2:26. This event taking place was the time when Martha was preparing dinner and had invited Jesus into her home to serve dinner to him, his disciples, and to Lazarus when her sister Mary was anointing Jesus with perfume. Jesus said to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? John 11:25 and 26. Jesus was essentially helping Martha to move from the general concept that resurrection will take place on the last day to a more personalized trust in Jesus, who alone can raise the dead, that no resurrection or eternal life exists outside of the Son of God. It's only through Jesus Christ that one can inherit eternal life in heaven. John 14:19, where Jesus says, "After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me, because I live, you shall live also." This verse is saying because of Jesus' impending resurrection and because of the Holy Spirit that all Christians possess, believers possess eternal life. To put it simply, why Jesus' resurrection matters to you is this. If Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, Christianity would be dead. Your faith would be worthless, and your life would be over with nothing to look forward to. Well, someone might say, "Pastor, those are certainly good words and it all sounds good, but how do I really know that Jesus arose from the dead? What proof is there of that?" Well, there are actually at least 11 post-resurrection appearances recorded in the Bible. And the one thing about Jesus' resurrection is, his is the only permanent return to life. Everyone else who had been raised to life in the Bible died again. Jesus rose and never died again. And by the way, did you know that at Easter, people who would never go to church are 4 times more likely to go on Easter Sunday than at any other time of the year? Take someone to church so that they can learn more about their eternal future with Jesus Christ in heaven. It's the most serious thing you can do on Easter Sunday for a friend or your family or a loved one, because it is a matter of life and death for that person. So let's talk about Easter, what it is, and why you should care. Whether you consider yourself to be a Christian or not, what I am about to say has eternal implications for everyone. That's the why you should care part about this message. And there are 2 words we want to understand as it relates to Easter. The first word is eternity, and the second word is forgiven. First, let's talk about eternity. The one thing we can all agree on, no matter what your religion or faith or philosophy is, all of us will die a physical death. We see it before our very eyes every day. It's non-disputable. And while it doesn't matter what religion or faith you follow to know that we all die a physical death, what does matter is to know what happens to you after you die a physical death. For Christians, the resurrection of Christ secures both the present salvation and the future physical resurrection of believers. Scripture teaches there are 2 eternities, one in heaven and one in hell. For those who have accepted Christ, there is eternity in heaven. But for those who have not accepted Christ, before they die a physical death, their eternity is hell. There's no second chance, no do-over to accept Christ after one has died a physical death. And I keep saying die a physical death because the reality is we will all die, but we will also all go on to live in eternity. We actually have 2 lives, one on earth and one in eternity. The question for everyone is, which eternity, heaven or hell, are you going to live in for eternity? Jesus said in Luke 24, "Strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." What Jesus is saying is, there will be far more people who do not get into heaven than those who do get into heaven. Jesus was not stating that someone could earn their way into heaven by striving to do so, because sinners can never save themselves. Salvation is only by the grace of God, not by works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Entering through the narrow gate is difficult because of human pride and one's natural inclination to love sin, and because of the world's opposition to the truth as influenced by Satan and his minions. John 3:36 contrasts the fate of those who believe in the Son of God and those who do not. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So it's pretty clear, believers will live in an eternity that is wonderful, spiritually alive. It's called heaven. Heaven is described in various ways throughout the Bible, but here are a few verses that give us a glimpse of what heaven will be like. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Revelation 22:3. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bond servants shall serve him. From these verses we've just heard, we can see that heaven's a place of great beauty and splendor, prepared by God for those who love him. It's a place where God himself will dwell with his people, believers, and there will be no more curse or suffering. In short, we can say, in heaven we will serve God and enjoy his presence forever. Non-believers, however, will live in an eternity of everlasting punishment, Matthew 25:46, everlasting burning, Isaiah 33:14, a place of no hope, Luke 16:25-26, and a place of darkness forever, Jude 13. Hell is spiritual death, not the life anyone would ever want to live in eternity. John 3:18 says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And as I said earlier, did you know there will be more people who do not get into heaven than who will get into heaven? Jesus says in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. As I said earlier, for Christians, the resurrection of Christ secures both the present salvation and the future physical resurrection of believers. What I think is the most important thing to know about heaven and hell is there is no second chance to get into heaven, to change your mind later, if you die before accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. As Jesus says in Matthew 22:33, for non-believers, on Judgment Day, you serpents, you brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell? Jesus right there is talking about those who have rejected him. The resurrected Christ proves there is life after a physical death. So the question is, which life are you going to choose? Before we conclude today's message, what's the big deal about Easter? If you'd like to hear a replay of this message, including the ending to today's message that's coming up, Just go to treasuretop.com under podcasts, and there you will see a link to this program. That's treasuretop.com, and there you will also see all of our contact information, as well as other messages to help you make life work when life doesn't want to work. And sign up for our free newsletter. And because we do seek to evangelize non-believers that they will be converted to Christians, and for believers to energize them with the Word of God to fulfill their calling, please prayerfully consider making a donation in any amount to help us continue to deliver these messages using mass media. Just go to treasuretop.com and press the Give button at the top of the website, and thank you. And now let's conclude today's message. What's the big deal about Easter? As I said earlier, there are at least 11 post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ that prove he is who he said he was, where Jesus was seen by human witnesses after his resurrection. These appearances occurred from the morning of his resurrection to his ascension back to heaven 40 days later. From the very beginning, belief in Jesus' bodily resurrection has been the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It's spoken about in Acts 2:24-36, 3:15-26, 4:10, 5:30, 10:40, 13:34-37, and 17:18-32. It is so critical that the Apostle Paul writes, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins." 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, the easiest way to stop the Christian movement would have been to produce his body. But nobody could produce his body. There were enemies of Jesus who planted a rumor that Christ's disciples had stolen his body. Matthew 28:11-15. But still, the certain conviction spread throughout Jerusalem and then the world that Jesus had in fact been raised. You know, people will die for what they believe in, but they will not willingly die for what they don't believe in. There were many witnesses to verify the claim of Jesus' resurrection. They were so convinced they had seen Jesus that they willingly suffered the loss of their positions and even their lives to follow the risen Savior. No event in ancient history is as thoroughly documented as the resurrection of Christ. And not only the documentation, look at the widespread impact on what Scripture teaches about the resurrection. The Word of God is actually offensive to unbelievers. That's how powerful Scripture is. The Apostle Paul calls Jesus the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, 1 Corinthians 15:20. Because Christ was raised, those who believe in him can take assurance that they too will be resurrected and in new bodies when Christ comes to earth with a new heaven and the new earth. And in the time that we have left, here are at least 11 post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. First, on Easter Day to Mary Magdalene, Mark 16:9-11. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. In another appearance to other women, Matthew 28:9-10. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me." In another appearance to Peter the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 15:5, "And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Cephas was another name for Peter. And here's another appearance to 2 others. "And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them." In yet another appearance to the 10 apostles, John 20:24 records, "But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." Another appearance on the Sunday following Easter, 11 apostles there with Thomas present, John 20:26-28. "And after 8 days, again his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Another post-resurrection appearance? To the seven disciples fishing at the Sea of Galilee, John 21:1 records. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Another appearance was on the shore of Galilee, speaking to the Apostle Peter, John 21:15-17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to them the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Here, Jesus is saying that he wanted Peter to love him so deeply and so devotedly that he would leave behind all that he was familiar with and be exclusively devoted to being a fisher of men, Matthew 4:19. In another post-resurrection appearance, 11 disciples were with Jesus on the Mount in Galilee on the day right before Jesus' ascension to heaven, as recorded in Matthew 28:16-17. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. This verse does not mean that only the 11 disciples were present. Saying some were doubtful would seem to indicate that there may have been more than the 11 who were with Jesus. This statement, as recorded by the author Matthew, would also seem to indicate that Matthew was not trying to cover up any facts or feelings about those who were present with Jesus. And another post-resurrection appearance of Jesus was to the 500, all of whom had seen the risen Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:6, where the writer says, "After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep." The Bible speaks of a rest for the children of God. When we think of rest, we think of sleep. For Christians, it is not said they have perished or passed into the land of death, but that they are fallen asleep. And another very familiar post-resurrection appearance is the appearance of Jesus Christ to Saul, who was named after the first king of Israel, while he was on the road to Damascus. Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul and who wrote over half of the New Testament, encountered Jesus as written in Acts 9:1-19, which records the external facts of his conversion. And for time's sake, I'll just read the first nine verses. "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do.' And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." Folks, if you ever wondered, how can I ever get into heaven for the things I have done in my life? God would never let someone like me into heaven. This encounter with Jesus is proof positive how anyone, and I mean anyone, can be forgiven of their sins and enter heaven. Paul persecuted and murdered Christians, and yet God used him to write over half of the New Testament. A former murderer of Christians who was converted into a Christian. The big deal about Easter that I want you to get is the only sin that can keep anyone out of heaven is to deny Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you confess your sins, ask for forgiveness, and accept the prompting of God in your heart to accept Jesus into your heart, you will go to heaven and live life for eternity in heaven. Because the wages of sin is death, wages means payment, so the payment for sin is death for unbelievers, Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins. And that step makes us righteous before God and admissible to heaven, not by anything we have done or could do, but by what Jesus has done, paying for all of our sins, past, present, and future, on the cross. Now, I want to make this very clear that no preacher, no friend, nobody, not even you, can save you. Only God can do that. If you are not a Christian and you feel a movement in your heart, or you are even wondering, inquisitive, is Christianity real, or whether or not you could go to heaven, that may be God moving in your heart to accept His Son as your Lord and Savior. Accept His calling of you, for that is the only way you can ascend to heaven. Beginning in John 6:44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for life of the world is my flesh." If Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, Christianity would be dead, your faith would be worthless, and your life would be over. That's the big deal about Easter. Well, that's all the time we have today. Remember that you can download this message right now free of charge, or any of my radio messages, by going to treasuretop.com and selecting the podcast tab. You can also subscribe for free so that you never miss another message. And please consider making a generous tax-deductible gift to Treasure Top to help us continue to broadcast the Word of God on radio, TV, YouTube, social media, and the Internet. And you can help us do that with your donation of any amount. We have three ways to give your tax-deductible donation. On the website at treasuretop.com and click on the Give button at the top of the screen. You can also text your donation with the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. That's the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer mail, our address is Post Office Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee, 37221. Thank you for considering a generous donation in order that we may continue to evangelize the unbeliever and to energize the believer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this study and your word today on what the true meaning of Easter is. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who became sin for us when he was nailed to the cross to pay for our sin bill in full, so that all believers are able to join you one day, soon, in eternity. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. And now it's Pastor John Haggard saying, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.